The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. So you want to become a real estate investor, a Valentine's Day story. But before we get started with this very interesting show today, I want to wish all you guys a happy Valentine's Day. I mean, I don't know when you're listening. It may be in the morning on your way to work. It may be in midday. It might be at night. I don't know, but it's still not too late to do something special for that someone special. It could be a simple little gesture. It doesn't have to be crazy, but I mean, it's just so important to show the people we love that we love them. And I usually do a little thing, you know, for the kids as well as my bride. And so I think it's always important that, we make something special on that day because it is a special day. I kind of think about, don't you guys, I don't know, when you think about Valentine's Day, I always flash back to elementary school days. Now, some of you younger ones, I don't know if this is what happened with you, but we always had the big thing where everybody would buy these, you know, little Valentine, a box full of little invitations or little greeting cards, whatever. And they're just like a little cutout that had a heart on it or something. And you pass them out to all the kids in the class. And then there were those candies, you know, remember those little heart-shaped candies? And they'd always have some funny little quip on them or something, you know. You know, it was like a big deal in class at that time. I don't know. Maybe today it's not politically correct or something, who knows, but you know, it was fun. You know, sometimes it's a little tough because, you know, then there's the kids that didn't get hardly any Valentines and stuff like that, usually me, but you know it's kind of like, wow, you know, I got one today. And no, but the, you know, it was fun. Elementary school, it was a kick. And that was kind of, that's the thing I always think of when I think of Valentine's Day. But this is also a great opportunity. This is my tip of the week here, is that use this holiday, which isn't, you know, usually doesn't go outside of the confines of our family or our close people and stuff like that. But this can really make a difference when maybe you have tenants, you know, maybe single tenants, maybe, you know, tenants that might not be getting, you know, a Valentine's or something, you know, and just a little gesture, a little heart-shaped candy or, you know, some flowers or something. I know I've done this for years with my property management staffs and stuff like that. Some of the people that deal with the not so fun jobs, you know, the administrative side of, or whatever it is. And they get a little thing from one of their, you know, clients. It means a lot. So that's something, you know, you might want to look at too. And it can really mean something special for folks. And you may not know it, but it's also an event that, you know, not a lot of people are sending things out to other people on. So you kind of really stand out. And it's kind of nice to do that. It does you know, it does make an impact on somebody, and they remember things like that. So anyway, that's kind of the tip of the day. So let's jump into our topic, okay? And this topic today is, so you think you want to become a real estate investor, a Valentine's Day story. Well, with many real estate investors, there comes that sort of light bulb moment, right? And when they realize all of a sudden, wow, I need to be investing in real estate. Have you had that? Are those of you listening, do you kind of remember what kind of sparked you, what it was that motivated you? And if you haven't, you know, started yet, you know, what sort of motivated you to even, you know, listen to this podcast or read books or start researching and checking into real estate investing? You know, a lot of us that are real estate investors, we have our story. I've literally interviewed hundreds of investors, very successful, some startup, you know, people starting out early on, just a real good cross section. And I would say over 4 years, we're coming up on 4 years. Can you believe that? We've had this podcast. Many of the people that I've talked to have shared their major revelations when they realize that real estate investing is it, the solution to a particular dilemma or an answer to a problem, or just boom, this is where I want to put my energy and time. And there were various triggers that caused this. Some of them have very similar beginnings. One of the most common I have had is they read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, how many of the people I've talked to have mentioned that? And I was one of those. That was really one of the things that sparked me. Or, you know, the person that can't sleep and they're up late at night and watching TV and an infomercial comes on with Carlton Sheets, you know, any of you that would even know that name, but, you know, sort of the one of the first sort of no money down guys. Or maybe it's a friend at work or a brother or sister or father-in-law or someone else that got involved in investing and you saw, you know, how they were doing it and wow, thinking I could do that. Or just sometimes people are motivated, they just don't like their 9-to-5 job and they're cruising in a bookstore and they kind of end up over in the business section and they stumble upon something on real estate investing, or they're driving in their car. You know, I've had a number of guys, it seems funny, the sales guys that are driving around doing their sales job and trying to make their quotas, and they hear some commercial about a seminar on flipping or something on the radio, or some people that just got fired and are kind of going, okay, do I want to jump back into another job like that one, or do I want to do something different? Regardless of what it was that triggers you, I think there are a lot of people within this listening audience that have their own motivation. My story is not too dissimilar. I was faced with the reality when I was getting older that I didn't have a retirement plan. And I'd been a missionary for 20 years, first with a music ministry, and then the last 12 years in Haiti. And I never really thought about it. You know, my wife and I were just prepared to serve until we could serve no longer. We didn't even think about retirement. But things change as they do in life. And all of a sudden, we were leaving Haiti and returning to the U.S. And I know I needed to do something because I still had some kids in school. I still had, I didn't have enough of a nest egg that was going to last me for the duration. So I started looking at just a myriad of options and, you know, started narrowing my choices pretty quickly. I wasn't going to get far running around with a resume, you know, trying to find a job at nearly 60 years of age. I just didn't see that happening. But even the fact that I'm mentioning that, about running around with a resume, you know, I mentioned this to my kids that are looking for jobs, starting their first jobs, and they just kind of laugh at me. Dad, nobody goes around with resumes anymore. You simply go online, register with Indeed or Monster.com or a host of other online recruiters or job boards, and you just fill in the forms. You know, it's a lot different. But, you know, I kind of just looked at the resume thing, and working for somebody else is not a likely thing for this old dog. So I kind of eliminated the 9-to-5 possibility, and we looked at other things. And I've started businesses before. I'd launched startups. I knew how to run a business. I thought that's going to be more of where I'm going to go, is running a business, doing a little side hustle or a series of side hustles to get me going. Maybe if I would even buy a franchise or launch an online business or work from home. There are a lot of different options. As I considered these options, I really tested out a few, considered others, and started to narrow down to the types of businesses I felt I could realistically do. Now, I was ultimately drawn to the types of businesses that I could do on my own, make my own hours, you know, work when I wanted, as hard as I wanted or as little as I wanted. And I was drawn to businesses that were more passive in nature. And I loved the approach in the book, you know, the 4-hour work week, you know, that appealed to me. 4 hours a week. Hey, if I can do that and survive, that's great. But, you know, you got to read the book. Don't always really narrow down to 4 hours. But I knew, of course, from experience that, and realistically, that a new business would really take a fair amount of time to start up. And at the same time, the last thing I wanted was a 14-hour-a-day type of business. I've been there and done that. And I wanted something more passive. It wasn't until I received this unexpected inheritance check that I even started thinking about real estate. When I received the check, I was just going to throw it in, you know, into my E-Trade accounts and start, you know, buying stocks again, which I've done for years. I've invested in tech stocks because I was in the tech industry for years and knew a lot of, you know, companies that were starting up. So I was familiar with that. But at the same time, the market was pretty volatile at the time that I got this check. And I thought, nah, I better diversify here. I got to spread things out in different things, because if the market takes a hit like it did in 2008, I don't want to be there, especially later in life. So yeah, I looked at annuities and, you know, gold and whatever, a lot of different options. And I just figured anything but the market. And now I knew a few guys that were real estate guys that were developers, investors, realtors. And I thought, you know, maybe that could be an option. Maybe I could just invest in a REIT, you know, a real estate investment trust, or even a syndication, or maybe, you know, buy a rental property, as long as I don't have to do too much, right? And I had, you know, no idea really what I was looking at or thinking about, but which kind of brings me to the Valentine's Day part of this story, okay? So as I'm kind of looking at people that were in real estate investing, one of the people I knew and I know who successfully invested in real estate was my father-in-law, and his name is Valentine Rodriguez. And he had done very well in real estate. First, he started off as a realtor broker and later as an investor and landlord. He was named Valentine. This is kind of why I'm leading into this Valentine's Day thing. And he was born on Valentine's Day, okay, which is really cool. Now, Valentine was a Cuban refugee who left Cuba shortly after Castro took power. He was a businessman in Cuba, but the government ended up taking away his businesses. He knew that if he didn't leave quickly, he would be stuck there under a communist regime, unable to leave under his own free will. But when his family left, you know, they had to give the appearance, because they were letting people go to the States, but only for visits, short-term, not permanent movement. So he had to leave literally with no money or possessions. And they left Cuba on May 26th, I think 1962, which May 26th happened to be my birthday. It was kind of a link thing here, you know? Okay. Anyway, when he arrived in Florida, although he didn't have anything when he arrived, he just went right to work. He had relatives there he was staying with, found jobs working in a factory or doing other odd jobs, anything to feed his family. And he had three daughters, my wife Suzette being the middle daughter. She was one of the three. His priority was always his family. He's a hardworking guy because he wanted to provide for his family. He heard about opportunities in California. So when he saved enough money, he, you know, moved from Miami area, which is where they came in initially, and moved to Los Angeles. And in LA, he did a number of different things. But one of the things he did is set up a screen door business because that was something he knew how to do in Cuba. So he leased this building, not a building, but like a house, really, that had he could set up his screen door business on the main street, and then his family could live in the building, you know, and he was able to conduct his business that way. And he worked hard and he saved hard, and he was able to save enough money over time to... As he had this little business, it started growing, and he thought, well, you know, let me see if I can do other things with this building that I have. And so he kind of divided it up and kept the front of it as sort of which is really their house in the beginning. And he had the screen door business kind of outside, and then he kind of cut it in half and he moved to the back for his family. And then the front part became all kinds of different businesses, clothing business, a market, and eventually a real estate office. He also, I believe, obtained a neighboring building as well over time, but bit by bit, he saw out of all these businesses he had done. He even did a photography business. I mean, just all kinds of different things. But then he realized that with the real estate end, as he would start to move his business around and lease out parts of his building, he said, this income is great. I need to be able to increase that. So he started buying some smaller residential properties nearby, and he would rent out more of these buildings in the area that he was in. So he said, you know, I'm just going to get a real estate license and, you know, just learn about this real estate stuff so that maybe I can grow that. So he learned how to buy, fix up, rent out, and manage commercial and residential rental properties in East LA at that time. And he saw the potential of real estate, and he also learned about leverage and how to leverage that property to acquire more. And so over time, he grew this nice little, you know, business that allowed him to generate significant income. He moved out of the house that was, you know, on, I think it was Whittier Boulevard at the time, and moved to a, you know, a nicer area, a little house on a hill and with a swimming pool and all this stuff. His family was, you know, was there. Now, over time, as he grew up and his kids, his girls, you know, moved out, got married and so forth, that they moved to Florida, back to Florida, and started buying property in Florida as well. So they kept the Southern California properties in the Florida. Now, to be honest with you, what he was doing didn't look like all that much fun. And I remember one incident in particular when I was courting my wife, and I was visiting Valentine and his wife Ida, and we were at the house there. And I just remember it was raining really, really hard. And I was just hanging out with, like everybody else, they always had this incredible smell of the things cooking, the Cuban food that they made was just amazing. And there was always Latin music and people were always dancing. I mean, that was just the standard there. It was great. And he said, I got a call from one of my tenants. I have to go and take care of it. Their roof is leaking. And, you know, me trying to impress him as he may be my potential father-in-law, you know, I said, I'll go with you and I'll help you. Okay, well, little did I know what I was getting myself into. We drove down to East LA to one of his duplexes, I believe, had a flat roof, and he pulls out something that resembled a ladder, but I don't think it really was one. I don't know if he made it or if it was something he converted. But either way, we were supposed to climb up this thing up to the roof, which is a flat roof, okay? And he had a bucket and some brushes. And in the bucket was tar, okay? In this process, we were in this, I mean, rain is pouring down. It never pours that hard in California, but it was pouring. And, you know, here he is. He just goes right to work. He starts, you know, pouring this tar down and putting the brush out and brushing it on the roof. And I'm trying to do the same thing, just watching him, having no idea what I'm doing. And, you know, he just like flew up that ladder when it got there. And I was like, it was a little slower. I was kind of praying with each slippery step that I was taking up to the roof. So he was just, boom, just moving forward. I was trying to keep up with him. Just, you know, it looked like we were trying to tar the bottom of a swimming pool. There was so much water on this roof. But he knew what he was doing, and he just did it. And it seemed like it took forever, but it probably only took about an hour or so. And we both were soaking wet. And I couldn't see. I mean, the water was running down my face so hard. I couldn't even see. My eyes are just filled with water all the time. But we successfully stopped the leak. Yay, right? And I discovered a couple of things in that experience. Number one, my possible future father-in-law was an animal. Wow. I mean, man, oh man, this guy is tough, dedicated, hardworking man, and he was unstoppable. So I was really impressed with that. Also made me think, too, I don't want to get on his bad side, okay? Don't want to, because this guy is, he's tough. And the second thing I discovered is that I would, and this seemed embedded on my mind, I would never, ever become a landlord. Why in the world would anyone ever want to do this? And for some strange, unforeseen reason, if I ever did become a landlord, I would never buy a property with a flat roof, okay? I mean, if I should become a landlord, right? So why am I sharing this story? Okay, for a number of reasons. Okay, number one, when you're a new landlord, you never know what you're getting yourself into. Seriously, it could be great, but it also, you kind of prepare yourself for it's not so romantic. Sometimes you have to. Now, Valentine was the kind of guy, he didn't want anybody to do anything for him. He wouldn't hire anybody for anything, didn't have property managers, managed all of his properties himself. So he had a little bit more of an effort, but he also made bigger profits too as a result of this too. And I'm sure he laughed when he found out that I actually became a landlord later on and I was going through similar things that he was. Number two, okay, a lot of times we go into real estate thinking that it is, you know, all exotic cars and bikini-clad supermodels in your driveway, okay? How many ads have you seen like that, right? And you know, this is ridiculous, okay? Landlording can be rough, and I've dealt with drug dealers and prostitutes and thieves and lawsuits, and I've had leaky roofs and clogged toilets, mold, asbestos, and you name it, I've experienced it. Not that I ever would want the cars or the supermodels in the first place, but you need to get a dose of reality before you step into the landlord's shoes, because there are times when it is going to be hard and it's going to be trying. Number three, but it's not all bad either. In fact, you know, it's a joy if you really get into it that you can provide quality housing for people in need. I mean, that is really a special thing. And it's wonderful when someone tells you, I love my apartment or I love the house I'm renting. And it means a lot. You know, it really does. And in addition to that, it's also great when the numbers work and the income comes streaming in like it's supposed to do, like an ATM machine every month, right? So there are these benefits, but you also got to look at it realistically too. All that to say is there really is a lot of different real estate investment strategies out there. It's not just rental properties too. And I want to make that clear that you can do real estate investing without buying properties and having to landlord. I mean, there are REITs, like I mentioned earlier, on real estate investment trusts. You can buy deeds and liens, and you can buy raw land. You can do Airbnb. You could buy billboards or wholesaling, flipping, hard money lending, private lending, self-storage, and passive investing in syndications, just to name a few, all of which don't require you to be a landlord. I mean, Airbnb maybe a little bit, but you know, you're more like a host. Overall, you know, there are other options out there. Whatever it is you choose, you know, make sure you do your homework before jumping in. Know what you're getting yourself into before you take that leap, and pick a strategy that works best for you and what you might want to do. You know, to conclude my story on Valentin continued to buy properties in California and Florida. His holdings grew, and with the money he earned, he helped to get relatives out of Cuba. He was able to help his family in the U.S. and bless his children with the weddings and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. And his wife and him, you know, later in their life, you know, after working so hard, were able to travel. They went on cruises like I would go down the street to the store. I mean, they just were always going on cruises. They loved cruises. At first, they would just travel, and then they found out about cruise ships, and they thought, hey, why can't I just have the hotel move me from city to city, you know, which is really cute. And that's what they really loved. And they loved the dancing and all the other stuff that was going on in the boat as well. You know, when my wife and I were considering moving back to the States from Haiti, we decided to take a one-year sabbatical, you know, just to listen to God and decide what we should do. And before we went to the U.S., you know, Valentine, who had had this amazing life and hardworking, many years struggling, but he worked it all together for success. And we, right when we were getting ready to come back to the U.S., we heard that he had gone into a diabetic coma in Florida. And so Suzette's sisters moved him back to California, where he recovered and got his strength back, although he was weaker, but he was in much better health. He still ended up continuing to buy, and he ended up buying this beautiful home in South Orange County, and as part of his legacy that he wanted to leave to his children. And that's where, you know, him and Ida lived. We came back to the U.S., and we really felt that God had spoken to us that, you know, we needed to stay and care for them. And we ended up moving in with her parents there in their house. It was a huge house. And we just, you know, we were there for the next 3 years. Now, their health was sort of digressed from there. They eventually both went into hospice care, and her mother just passed away last year. And Valentine is, in fact, today when this broadcast comes out, we celebrated with him his 93rd birthday. And this is a guy who's been diabetic, you know, most of his life, and he had lived for so long, and now he is confined to his bed, and this, you know, may even be his last birthday. We don't know. But he lived an amazing life. And one of the things that just blew me away is that here he is, 93 years old. The income he generates from his rentals, which are still out there, he sold most of them, but he held on to a few. And those are still paying his mortgage, which he's dwindled down to almost nothing now. And his, covering his expenses so that he could stay in his home. He didn't want to go into assisted living, didn't want to go into a home. And his family loves him, and his daughters are there. And there's also a caretaker as well that's working with him. But it's just an amazing story for me. You know, here he is. He still gets these rent checks in that late in his life. And, you know, he's a man of amazing character, and one that is just a solid, honest, hardworking business person, but a person who always put his family first. And they love him. And you can tell by how much my wife and her sisters all just pour so much into him. And, we are not living there anymore, but we're there all the time. And she still works there on weekends and to relieve the caretaker. It's just an amazing legacy and loving father and husband and an inspiration for a lot of us. And I just think I wanted to share that with you. One, because it's his birthday and I want to do this in honor of him. But at the same time, I want you to be able to look, real estate investing, you got to be realistic when you go into it and know what you're getting yourself into. But overall, it can be an incredible blessing, not only for you, but for the generations after you. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything I talked about here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for this special episode on Valentine's Day. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.